Today we continue the study of the parables of Jesus, and we're concentrating on the parables that introduce us to the grace of Jesus, this idea that it's a concept from another world. It's right out of the heart of God. Grace changes the way we see ourselves, where we see God, and how we see each other. Well, When our sons were starting to play baseball, one of the complaints that I had was, it seems like we start baseball way too early. When I was growing up, back a few years ago, no laughing, a few years ago playing baseball, baseball for us was a summer activity. I mean, it wasn't starting in the, you know, when the snow was still on the ground and, you know, trying to get in the baseball. We started baseball pretty much towards the end of school and went into June, July, and August. And that was our season. So as we're thinking about it, we started the summer. I was thinking about baseball. And one of the things I think about baseball is some of my own experiences with baseball. I loved playing the game of baseball. It was a fun activity. I remember my dad coaching my team several times. And I also remember, you might not know this about me, but I was a pretty good baseball player. You know, I'm just saying. I mean, I remember one time in high school as a sophomore. I remember that I went and hit this ball. It went so far, it almost went over the fence, never to be close again. But I do remember that moment. It was a highlight, and that kind of ingrains in you those moments. I was so close, and everyone coming around saying, "Oh, Lynn, you almost hit a home run." And I'm like, "I know," and I never did since, or ever in my life. But also I remember the highlights. I remember the lowlights. I remember getting up there and striking out. You know, it's embarrassing to strike out. And I was embarrassed quite a bit. A lot of strikeouts in my life. And I remember those times. You get up there. And I remember one time as a sophomore in high school, after one of those almost hit the fence, and I remember the bases were loaded. All we needed was me to hit something out of the infield. And I would have been a hero. Well, strike one, strike two, strike three. Game was over. So I don't know, there's something about baseball. But one of the things that we didn't have growing up, and I don't remember until our son started playing baseball, was this really cool invention. I don't know. I mean, this invention of T-ball. You know what I'm saying? T-ball. So you have a baseball. And this, I thought, was a great invention, because when you're smaller and you're trying to figure out baseball, I mean, I remember as a dad trying to throw the ball to my son to hit, and I wasn't a very good pitcher, okay? So this thing here works out really well. I don't have to pitch. I could just sit it there. So I remember our son's going through T-ball, and I remember, you know, it wasn't the most exciting baseball, I'll say that, okay? However, it was a great learning point, and I was really glad for T-ball, because our sons and your sons may even get up there, and it wasn't have to look at some ball coming in, but you could just go and swing at it. Now, just so you know, people have struck out in T-ball, okay? So it's not as easy as it seems at times. It is possible to strike out, but it's less possible to strike out in T-ball. But the thing about it is, it's teed up so nicely. And young kids are figuring this out, and they just get this swing down, and they get it down, and T-ball's so good. And you know what? As I was thinking about this, and my sons were playing baseball, I'm like, you know, I kind of wish we had T-ball again. I could just tee it up. Just tee it up and just hit it. And it's easy. It's sitting, the ball's sitting right there. It doesn't have any curveballs on it. Spitballs or whatever you have, sliders, it just sits there and you could do that. And as I think about this story of Jesus telling this story in the parable, and I thought, well, you know, Jesus probably understood T-ball also. I mean, if Jesus would have been in this time and he would have maybe told a story, he would have maybe used the analogy of a T-ball versus big league baseball. Because I think if Jesus would have said, you know, we talk about this topic of love, you know, we have to learn the topic of love as T-ball, okay? You got to learn how to do that well. And I think when you do that, but I think there's a time, Jesus would say, that you have to take the ball off the tee and you have to let things come at you. I think Jesus would say, you know, people, you're really good at loving when the ball is teed up for you. You're really good at loving when it sits right there and it takes no effort to love someone and you can just tee it up. I think Jesus might tell us, you know, you people, you do t-ball love. What about big league love? What about loving big? What about doing things that take more work and effort? In Luke 6:32, this verse says, if you only love those who love you, and that's not a big deal. He says, even godless people love the lovable, but rather if you love your enemies, now that is something. And Jesus would say to us, I'm all about love, and you should all be about love. And for us, the typical love, this natural love that kind of we gravitate towards things, he said, that's good stuff, but it's t-ball. And God, I think, through Jesus, was telling us in some of the parables that we need to show love of a whole other kind. We need to show this big league love. And we find this in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus tells a story. But before he tells a story, and each time we look at the parables, we're going to look at the context to see why was this story plopped in there at this time. Jesus didn't just throw this out. He had a reason why he would do this. And we find out this, that Jesus is involved with a discussion with a scholar, Bible scholar maybe, and they were talking about the Old Testament law, and they were having a discussion, maybe you can consider it a debate. And they're talking about how the Old Testament law works, and asked him to summarize the law. And I think Jesus was impressed, at least for a second or two, with the answer. The guy answered, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I think Jesus would have said, great job. That's right on. And I think Jesus would also say, well, you know, you may have heard some of my teachings. You might have heard me talk about these things, that the most important law is this, to love God and to love people. And so the guy got it right. But then Jesus ups the ante, and he says, you know, you gave me the right answer, but do you live it? And he turned to him and says, what about you? And the gentleman wanted to justify himself, and so he kind of got, as Jesus came back to him, he kind of got in a little bit of a squirming thing, and he says, well then, you know, Jesus. And we find this bantering back and forth on a level up here of what it might look like. And it says, well, the guy goes, well, who really is my neighbor? That's a good question for all of us. Who really is my neighbor? And he says, do I love my neighbor as myself? And the guy had to think about that. And when he asks this question, who is my neighbor anyways? Jesus says, like he always does, boy, I got a story for you. I love when Jesus tells stories. And he said this in the story. Jesus says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And this is a path that everyone would know about. Going down from Jerusalem was up high and Jericho low. Many people would understand about that going back and forth there. Well-traveled road. The people that Jesus was telling the story to would understand that. He said he was going down and he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Then he put the man in his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper. He said, look after him, And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. And then Jesus paused. And he looked at the man. And he said, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? Now, I find this really, really important. The expert in the law replied, could not even say the word. The one who had mercy on me could not label the person who it was. And Jesus then told him, go and do likewise. Jesus uses an analogy of two really religious dudes. The ones that everyone knows should be known for their devotion to God's service. The Levites and the tribe of Levites had a specific calling. And this is the calling and the subcategory and these was some priests. Two guys who all should know and be known for their ways of God. So the question is, why did they go around? Maybe because they don't like blood. Some of them don't like blood. A bloody mess. Didn't want to get your hands messed up. You can maybe say these people says, I'm not a doctor. I do theology, I don't do doctoring. Maybe another one, they rationalized and said, well, you know, maybe the guy is dead. And if he's dead, then I cannot touch him because he'd be ceremonially unclean. And so both of them walk on the other side and pretend that they don't see him. Now let me just pause there for a moment. How many times have we pretended not to see something? Where we just say, you know, too messy, I'm not going to do it. And I'll just pretend that I don't see it. But then Jesus tells a story about a Samaritan. And this is where the rub happens, because Samaritans despise the Jews, and the Jews despise the Samaritans. The Samaritans were Jews. They were part of the northern tribe that was killed by the Assyrian army empire way back. And part of that, what happened there, that the Assyrians took some of them away and they left a few behind. And the Bible tells us in other literature that they were intermarried by the Assyrians. And so at this point, they were called half-breeds by the people in that area. They were part Jewish, and the Jews would say they're also part pagan. The Jews hated them because they thought they were a perversion of their true faith. And the Samaritans hated the Jews because they had knocked down their temple and destroyed it. We know that the Jews had a temple on the mountain, and we know that the Samaritans had a temple on their mountain. And we hear more of that story with the Samaritan woman at the well, and that story you know about. But this Samaritan, in this story, took pity on the man, bandaged him up, brought a donkey, took him to an inn, took some money, reimbursed him, and said, any extra expense, I'll be back to pay it. And when he says, who of these three was a neighbor? The question is, who is your neighbor? Who was the neighborly one? Of course, the scholar said, the one who had mercy on him. And then Jesus said, go and love like that. And when he said this, go and love like that, he wasn't talking about T-ball. He was talking about big league love. So I want to talk this morning about three truths about big league love. What this kind of love looks like. The first one is, what is this kind of love? I believe this kind of love is what we'd call emotion in action. And that's what the Samaritan did. He had emotion in action. I mean, we can have emotion, right? We can feel sorry for someone. We can have pity on others. We can have concern for this. But we notice with the Samaritan, it was emotion in action. And we have emotion in action, I believe, gives us a glimpse into our hearts. Maybe like no other way. Because this Samaritan had compassion. And if that's the case, then we can also look into the heart of the Levite and the priest and say the same thing. What was going on in their hearts? Did they have the emotion without the action? And Jesus is saying, you know what? You Levites, you priests, you people who are religious, I'm tired of you talking about love. I'm tired of you saying, I'm a lovely person, and I love people. I love folks, especially those who love me. I love T-ball love. And as we look at our own daily routines, we get a glimpse in this kind of love. That we do these distinct acts of sacrificial love that cost. Sacrificial love costs something. For this Samaritan, it cost a lot. The first thing it cost him was something I think is more valuable today than ever. It cost him his preference. His preference was to take a stroll. We had no idea what his plans were for that day. His preference was not to help this gentleman. His preference was to continue to go. But we saw in this Samaritan a dying to his preference. It also cost him his time. When we show this kind of love, different than T-ball love, it cost him his time. He had to change his plans. He had to do things he had not intended to. It took time and slowed down his agenda for that day. And the third thing that it cost him, which we can understand maybe better than others, it cost him money. It cost him his resources. He had to pay for things. He had to do things. I think Jesus is saying in this parable, if you want to be known by love, not T-ball love, but big league love, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you, and it's also going to make that it's going to, you have to die to yourself. That's hard. Giving to another. I struggle with this. I am really, really, really good at T-ball love. I'm really good at that. I can be the best person that can love people when it tees it up right in front of me and it comes right at me and I know exactly what to do. I am really, really good at T-ball love. But this big league love, where it starts costing my time, my preference, and my resources, that's hard. That is not easy. I want to tell you that I have watched so many people in this church family exhibit this big league love so well. I can give you examples, but I'm not going to do that because if I start examples, then I include people and disclude others. But I will tell you this, I have watched people exhibit this big league love. That people that don't just talk about it, but I watched their emotion in action. Not for everyone to see, but you cannot believe how many people in this church, behind the scenes, we see this kind of sacrificial love. This big league love. So I think maybe what Jesus is telling The scholar and telling us and others is, if we want to get from T-ball to big league love, we have to look at the costs. We have to look at how we can maybe lose our preferences. How we might have to rearrange our time. Oh, and might have to change how we spend our money. So not only what is this kind of love, but who are we to show love to? Why did he pick these two, the Jews and the Samaritans? I think one of the reasons is because they had a hate-filled relationship. Jesus could use this example because he could show this idea of unlovable. And when you look up unlovable in the dictionary, it says this: those who are so unpleasant, so as to invoke no natural affection. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I like that. That's talking about unlovable people, and they got issues, and they got things, and they're not so pleasant to talk to, and spending time for them, and they're not who I prefer to spend time with, and I don't want to spend money on them. Give me T-ball, Lord. Give me T-ball. I can do that well. As long as it doesn't create me to change my preferences, a whole lot of time. I'll give a little bit. Or any of my resources. I think one of the things that this does is that the people who annoy us, maybe we don't think they deserve it, maybe those who wronged you, those are the ones that don't come naturally. It's unnatural at times. See, I can say that I love T-ball love, and I love the idea of loving people, and I really love people, sometimes until I meet them. It's easy to love. It's easy to have a concept of love. It's even to talk about love. But when Jesus was telling this parable, he was telling each one of us to die to ourselves. So if that's the case, how in the world can I do it? And I think one of the things that we need to do, and one of the ways that I've rearranged this parable in my own mind, I've taken a little bit of a different slant on this parable after some reading this week that sort of made sense to me, is I think many times when we read this parable, we view ourselves, we place ourselves in the story, we want to place ourselves as the hero in the story, not the victim. See, we would never dream, I think, a lot of times we look at this parable, that we would be the one in need along the side of the road. We would see ourselves as the hero, or at least attain to be the hero, but not the victim. And I think a little nugget to me this week to change the story in a powerful way is this: that I believe Jesus intends us to see ourselves as the guy on the side of the road. And I think that's why he picked the Jew and the Samaritan. But see, if I was to tell the story, if I could correct Jesus on a few things that he did in this story, that I think it would have worked a little bit better, I would have changed things just a bit. If I was to tell this story to a Jewish audience and I wanted them to understand, I would have had the Samaritan be the guy on the side of the road. That would have made sense to me. And I would have had the Levite still be there and the priest go walking by. And what I would have done then is I would have had just this ordinary Jew, not a church person, not anything like that, this ordinary Jew come by and help out the man on the side of the road. And to me, that would have made sense. And we would have had this Samaritan. And then it would happen. But see, Jesus understands a whole lot better than I do, and also the context he was dealing with. See, if Jesus would have flipped the story and made the Samaritan the one on the side of the road, and he would have told the story to the Jewish audience, it would have wrecked them. And when he told the story about this and about the person alongside the road, about a Samaritan, what would have happened was this. The Samaritans would have, the Jews would have said this, "What? Help a Samaritan? Are you kidding me?" And they would have exited left out of the story and said, "Hey, no, it's not believable. Can't do it. I'm not going to help the Samaritans." End the story. And there would have been no emotional connection. And one of the things I know in the parables is this. Jesus goes for an emotional connection that maybe we don't even know hits us. And so by turning it to the Jewish audience and connecting with this beaten guy, I think what Jesus is going for is this. Because the other way wouldn't have worked, they would have not even engaged in a story. But I think Jesus could say at the end this. Do you see that this Samaritan helped you? What if this Samaritan would have helped you? How grateful would you be if you were the man on the side of the road and this Samaritan stopped, invested time, preference, and money into you? How would you feel if you were rescued by a Samaritan? And as I think of us in this story, if we put ourselves in the story as the person alongside of the road and the one that needs rescue, I think what Jesus is getting at is that sometimes before we can give this kind of love, we need to receive this kind of love. And in that way, the emotion of the story, the understanding for the people. And I thought about us. And we're maybe the one on the side of the road that needs help. And someone comes along, way unexpected, not someone that we would ever dream would come by and help us, and takes us and cares for us and restores us to health. We would receive this amazing love. And because we receive this love, we're much better prepared to give this love to others. I think that's what Jesus meant. I mean, we find out in 1 John 4:19, he says, "We love because you first loved us." See, we understand there's so much of this undeserved grace. This grace that just gets poured out to us and to others. How am I to experience this big league love versus this t-ball love? How do I do this? You say, "Well, Lynn, that makes sense in the story, but I've never been beat up along the side of the road." And I'd say, "Well, yeah, I think you may have been beat up along the side of the road." Because Romans 5:8 says this, "God demonstrates his own love, his big league for us, while we were still sinners." In some ways, this means his sinners, still his enemies. We rebelled against Christ. Christ died for us, rescued us, and sacrificed everything to heal us. So maybe instead of thinking about the story as we would be the hero in the story, and sometimes if we're the hero in the story, we don't get the understanding of the emotional connection and seeing how that flips, because we have not experienced that big league love ourselves. Maybe we're not the hero in the story. Maybe we need rescuing. Maybe we need to be loved this way, in such a way that we can pour this love out to others. Maybe we can connect to this story more than ever because we're overwhelmed by the undeserved big league love. You say, well, how do you practice that, Lynn? How do you get there? How do you go from T-ball to big league love? I'm glad you asked that question. I think one of the ways you do this is practice. To understand what you have received and then what you can give. Find people who are unlovable and give them your preference and your time and your resources. Maybe your heart needs to be inclined like it's never been inclined before. Maybe we just need to spend more time in the loving arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and just dwell in what that means for us. And when we have that come over us, we are more inclined to love in radical ways. If you're like me, I do real well with T-ball love. But I think in the story of the Good Samaritan, as we look, as put ourselves along the side of the road, and someone that comes to help us, and we receive that emotionally, what that looks like, we can then flip, and we can do like that to others. T-ball love. It's easy. It's natural. Big league love. It's unnatural. It's hard. It's difficult. But Jesus calls us to be big league lovers because he gave us big league love. Let us pray. Lord, I apologize and ask for forgiveness for my T-ball love. I know there's times where you loved that I was a T-ball person in my earlier ages as I was learning what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Lord, maybe there's others in the room here today that need to ask for forgiveness for that also. Lord, forgive us for failing to step up at times. Forgive us sometimes when we put our preferences and our time and our resources above anything else. Lord, help us to be sacrificial people who show Christ-like love to those around us. And Lord, we know that these two things, love God and love people, the two most important things, will never change. And I pray that you would help us how to do that even better as we love you first and you first loved us. And then we can then love others because of what you have done for us. Lord, that is amazing grace. Amen.